Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C., that the government and its lapdog supporters in the media don't want you to know. I used to work as an attorney in Congress, and I was really amazed at all the information that we had that was never conveyed to the American people, and that's why I'm here on the air, giving you the inside scoop. Our topic today is Homeland Security, and I know a decent amount about that because that's one of the things I worked on. I worked on the committee, the House Select Committee of Homeland Security, as an attorney for my member of Congress, and that committee oversaw the Department of Homeland Security. And I have to say, I saw a lot of things here that I really wasn't too impressed with. At the time I was there, the person in charge was a guy by the name of Paul Redmond. And I think I need to go back, really, to talk about a little bit of the history here. And later on, we're going to have my guest. He's Congressman Jim Turner, the ranking Democrat on the House Select Committee that oversees the Department of Homeland Security. And so he's the lead guy. He's the guy that knows more about it, infinitely more than I do. And you'll have your chance to call in and talk with him about the dysfunction of the Homeland Security Department. I mean, after all, this is a department that just recently, we had John Ashcroft, Attorney General, claim that there's going to be an imminent terrorist attack. He warned us. He couldn't be specific, but it's really dangerous, he said. And yet Tom Ridge, the Homeland Security chairman, he apparently didn't think it was serious enough to raise the threat level. Later on, we found out that, hey, John Ashcroft's information was 6 weeks old, and that there were allegations that maybe John Ashcroft talked about a threat because of the president's declining poll numbers. So we'll get into that. First, I just want to give you a little bit of history about the department. I want to make sure that you understand where this department came from and why it's there. And then we're going to get in with Congressman Jim Turner and talk about really all the dangers that are left in our homeland. I mean, the title of the show is Be Afraid. And I think you should be afraid. We have all kinds of vulnerabilities that this president and this Homeland Security Department are doing very little to address. But let's talk about the history here. After September 11th, 2001, when 3,000 Americans were killed, the worst terrorist attack in American history. At that time, we knew that the FBI, the CIA, had all kinds of information that they didn't use, and that terrorists, in fact, were in this country, and the CIA knew it but didn't tell the FBI. The FBI knew that there was a terrorist that liked to fly planes but didn't like to land them. And so there was all this information going around, but no one told anyone. George Tenet claims he knew all about Zakarias Moussaoui, the so-called 20th hijacker. It's not clear whether or not he told the president. But no one knew anything that was going on. No one connected the dots. I think there's some suggestion the president did know. But whether he knew or not, he certainly claims not to have. And so we had this department that was set up. And the department was set up. And it was, in fact, Senator Joe Lieberman's idea. Senator Joe Lieberman, Democrat of Connecticut, who a former vice presidential candidate, had the idea to bring in all these departments together, to take the intelligence gathering information from the FBI, the CIA, customs officials, the INS, bring it all together in one spot. The idea was the information could be analyzed, all these departments could go together, and we really could find out if there was a severe threat to the United States. Now, George Bush opposed this at first. He was very much against it. Then, as November 2002 elections came along, George Bush suddenly switched sides, changed his mind, decided to support the idea of a department as long as they took away labor rights, as long as they didn't give the workers, these government workers who had always had worker protections, things like whistleblower protections, the right if you see something going wrong or illegal, like the tortures at Abu Ghraib prison, something like that, and you want to tell your superior about it, you want to tell the press about it, you're not punished for telling the truth about things that are going wrong. Well, George Bush didn't want workers to have these protections, and he rammed the bill through developing the Department of Homeland Security without these worker protections. But it's important to remember he opposed it at the beginning. Still, ever since November 2002, George Bush has been a big supporter of the Department of Homeland Security. In fact, he can't stop praising it. He praised them just recently, saying their vigilance is protecting America. He said that Tom Ridge has done a terrific job, a fantastic job of getting the difficult work of organizing the department. And so this hour, I want to examine what kind of job they're doing, how the Department of Homeland Security is doing. because the criticisms I've heard are pretty legion. And my guest, Congressman Jim Turner, the ranking member on the Department of Homeland Security, the leading Democrat in the department, like I said, he knows infinitely more about it than I do. He's in charge, if you will, of watching over, seeing what the Department of Homeland Security is doing and what kind of job they're doing. And I want to welcome him to the program. Thank you very much, Congressman Turner, for coming on the Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you this afternoon.
Let me ask you, we'll get into specifics in a minute, but let me just ask you overall, how do you think the Department of Homeland Security is doing?
Well, Mark, it's not doing nearly as well as I had hoped it would be at this point in time. I guess we have to accept the fact that it is the largest reorganization of the federal government in decades. And any time you decide to merge 22 federal agencies that have a different culture and different rules, you've created a massive management problem, which unfortunately has probably consumed a lot of the time of the officials in the department when we would have hoped they would be dealing with homeland security issues rather than internal management, other bureaucratic problems that arise out of a merger that large. But the bottom line is they still have a long way to go, and in many ways the new responsibilities that the Congress gave this new department in the Homeland Security Act are the areas where we have the largest shortcomings.
And I want to deal with those actually one by one. Let me just give out the phone number for anyone that wants to call. Congressman Turner is only here for the first half of the hour, so if you want to talk with him, you're going to have to call in the first half of the hour. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. It's a toll-free number, 877-57-SCOOP. 877-577-2667, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Congressman Turner, I want to ask you about something that I saw when I worked as a staff member for a member of Congress on the Homeland Security Committee, and that was a really incredible hearing. I thought it was incredible, at least, when Paul Redmond was in charge of the Information Analysis and Infrastructure Protection, basically the part of Homeland Security that was supposed to draw in intelligence from all these sources, put it together, and let us know what the threat is. And what Paul Redmond told the congressional hearing was that they weren't getting much information, that it was all going to George Bush's off-the-shelf intelligence branch called the Terrorist Threat Integration Center, and they were getting it all, and that TTIC, as they called it, didn't have congressional oversight. And then, of course, 3 days later, although it got very little press, Paul Redmond resigned for health reasons. Has this changed? Is the Department of Homeland Security now getting the intelligence it needs, or is it all going to TTIC?
Mark, it is certainly in better condition, particularly that particular division, Information Analysis and Infrastructure Protection Directorate, is in better shape than it was at the time of the hearing you referred to, and I feel encouraged by that. The fundamental problem, however, that you referred to still exists. When Congress passed the Homeland Security Act, it created this particular directorate. It was a new responsibility for the new department to gather all of the threat information and to gather all of the information around the country about our vulnerabilities and to do a national assessment of threat and vulnerabilities and to use that information to prepare us to defend against terrorist actions, as well as to decide what the priorities are in terms of spending, so we know really where our first dollars should be spent to protect this country. That task has not yet been completed. We pointed that the importance of that out at the hearing you referred to, as well as some subsequent hearings. Over the period of a month since we've started making those observations, the department has shortened the time frame for completing the task, which tells me we've gotten their attention, and at least they've tried to devote some more resources to it and to shorten the timeline for completing this very important national assessment of threat and vulnerability. But also, in the meantime, the president created this new Terrorist Threat Integration Center.
TTIC.
You referred to it as a commonly used phrase for it. TTIC is a combination of the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security personnel, and other agencies. It actually operates under the umbrella and is funded through the CIA.
But correct me if I'm wrong.
The fundamental function of trying to gather all of the threat information, which is frankly what the Congress felt they were doing when they created this Information Analysis Center within the Department of Homeland Security. So in many ways, those of us who follow this department feel like that the task assigned to it has been taken away and placed in the hands of this new Terrorist Threat Integration Center. Now,
and Congressman, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no congressional statute that I'm aware of that authorizes TTIC, is there?
No. Most of us learned about TTIC was when the president referred to it in a State of the Union address. At that point in time, there was no formal presidential directive or any other documentation creating it. So it was really kind of an ad hoc creation. Now, I want to be careful here and not be too critical, because I think the motivation for taking this presidential action was the recognition that we did have some expertise in intelligence gathering at the CIA, at the FBI, and that some of those folks might be able to do this task in short order better than a newly created department could carry it out.
But, Congressman, shouldn't TTIC or an organization like that be under the control of the Department of Homeland Security, which at the very least you have an oversight committee in Congress? Congress can watch what goes on. I don't know that Congress has any oversight powers over TTIC, at least, I mean, apart from what you might normally have over the FBI or the CIA. If it were in the Department of Homeland Security, wouldn't it be able to be watched better so that they don't make some bad mistakes?
Well, I think the Congress intended for this function to be within the Department of Homeland Security, and if you read what the Homeland Security Act says about this information analysis directorate, that's the kinds of things that are spoken about in the law. So, frankly, we believe, and particularly those of us on the Homeland Security Committee, believe that this is where ultimately this responsibility should reside. Now, again, the president, using his executive authority, created a new entity, which, as I say, I don't want to be too critical of the presidential action, because let's face it, even when we merged 22 federal agencies to try to focus to a greater degree on Homeland Security, we didn't merge every organization that has something to do with Homeland Security. Clearly, the FBI is a major player.
Sure.
And the FBI is not a part of Homeland Security. So even though we tried to merge agencies to better coordinate our efforts to protect the homeland and to go after the terrorists, we still have certain agencies that have other responsibilities that relate to Homeland Security.
But I guess the basic question is the Department of Homeland Security getting the intelligence it needs to protect we Americans in the event of another terrorist attack? Are they getting the intelligence they need from the FBI, the CIA, the customs officials, all of them together? Are they getting it, or is it all going in this TTIC hole?
Well, let me say it this way. The Department of Homeland Security would tell you that they're a part of TTIC and that they're utilizing TTIC to carry out the statutory responsibility that Congress gave them. And they have people stationed at the Terrorist Threat Integration Center that work there daily. So they would tell you that's an extension of their activities. But the bottom line is, ultimately, it's my belief, ultimately the Congress intent and the clear provisions of the law say that activity should be within this new department. And that those of us who have oversight responsibilities over this new department would then have a better opportunity to have oversight over whether or not this is being carried out. Now, let me take one step further with you when you ask, is this job getting done?
Yeah, because after all, it's 3 years after September 11th, and apparently we still don't have a list of where we're most in danger, much less doing anything.
No,
about it.
And that's the greater concern. I mean, these other arguments are legitimate arguments, and they're important. But they're sort of bureaucratic infighting as to who controls what. The real issue that I think we need to get at here, and obviously the organizational structure affects this, but the real issue is, why haven't we done a better job about integrating the intelligence gathering functions of the federal government and the intelligence information dissemination of that information so that we'll know that all local and state officials and other people who need to know in the private sector will get the information that we have in real time. And to date, we have not seen the federal government make a real commitment to establishing the kind of integrated intelligence gathering system that I think we must have to make this country safe.
Now, when Paul Redmond appeared before that committee, he was asked by members of Congress, who there is in charge of the threat against bioterrorism. He said, I am. And I remember, I don't remember which member of Congress asked, I think it may have been Chris Shea, said, okay, how many people do you have working for you? And he said, well, none yet. And they said, well, why not? And they said, well, we don't have the office space. And a number of members of Congress's mouths dropped at that point, and they said, you don't have the office space. Is this a question of resources? Is that what the Homeland Security Department's not getting, or is it a question of bureaucratic infighting, or both?
Well, it's both. At the point in time that Mr. Redmond was asked that question, he clearly had not been able to staff up that new information analysis section. And I don't remember, he said he had no one in there in that field of bioterrorism, or whether he had one or two, but irrespective of what he said, it's clear he wasn't really in a position to be carrying out this job. And, of course, to say that he has the sole responsibility for bioterrorism is probably not an accurate statement either, because the Department of Health and Human Services has some roles in terms of protecting this country against bioterrorism, and it's not within the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security. And it was just a few weeks ago that the president issued a presidential directive which, for the first time, specified which agencies of government have what responsibilities in terms of protecting this country against bioterrorism.
So it just came out a few weeks ago.
Just a few weeks ago.
It's been three years.
We're supposed to get a briefing on that tomorrow morning. By the White House, because a portion of that presidential directive is classified, and those of us on the committee would like to hear the classified version of that presidential directive so we'd know where the president placed certain responsibilities for bioterrorism within the federal government.
Now, there are reports that basically the organizations that currently exist, the CIA, the FBI, maybe Health and Human Services, though I haven't heard that, that basically they don't want to give up their power, their expertise, that George Tenet is quoted as saying, and pardon the crassness, but this is a direct quote, no way am I going to give this up to a new organization that doesn't know its ass from its elbow. I mean, if George Tenet is fighting the Department of Homeland Security so much and he runs the CIA, how's it ever going to get power to really know what's going on and defend us?
Well, let me say this. One side of this argument would be read the statute and see what the Congress provided that the Department of Homeland Security is supposed to do. And if you read it, you see that they have a broader responsibility than in many ways than they're currently carrying out.
I mean, that's the
but
law.
The practical side of this issue is what you heard from that quote from Mr. Tenet, and that is this department is new. And it's not fully staffed in some of these critical areas. And some of these other agencies, like the CIA and the FBI, have longstanding expertise and personnel engaged in intelligence gathering. The FBI, of course, is having to transform itself from a law enforcement agency to more of a terrorist fighting and intelligence gathering agency. But the real problem that I see in the area of intelligence gathering is that we have our intelligence functions spread out among various agencies like the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Defense. And Director Tenet is supposed to be over all of this, but in fact, the way it works, it really doesn't turn out that way, because the bulk of our intelligence gathering assets, and certainly the bulk of the dollars, are in the Department of Defense. And you know, it has been proposed by Congresswoman Jane Harman, the ranking member of the House Select Committee on Intelligence, that we have a director of national intelligence so that somebody would be able to require these various agencies that have intelligence gathering responsibility to work together.
But are they not cooperating? Is the answer is that they're just not giving to the Department of Homeland Security the information it needs to analyze the intelligence? Are they just not giving up enough information? What's going on here?
I don't think that the issue is they're not giving up enough information because the Department of Homeland Security currently has people stationed at and are people who are a part of TTIC. It is, as you know, TTIC, as you said, is not under the umbrella of any one agency, even though it's funded through the CIA. It's really an amalgamation of these other agencies where they all send personnel and they try to collect this intelligence information that all of them gather and then disseminate it. But the real problem is the collection and the dissemination process has not been refined to the level that it must be in order to make this country safe. We need to be in a position where if a law enforcement officer in Brooklyn, New York, ends up stopping somebody for speeding and they find that person suspicious, they think they may have some links to some illegal activity or even terrorist activity, they need to be able in real time to make an inquiry into a computer database to see if that person is somebody that they should try to detain further. And right now, we do not have the capability in our government to do that in real time. And if that law enforcement officer happens to arrest someone and finds they have some connection to some terrorist plot or activity, that information needs to be able to be entered in real time by that police officer, and immediately that information should be available to all agencies of our government, all analysts, who would immediately know that this person's been picked up and here's the deal. So we don't have that capability yet, and that's what we ought to have to make this country safe.
Absolutely, and I want to talk. I know you have a bill that's proposed that I assume would fix some of these questions, and I want to get to that after the break. I do, though, want to deal with some of the emails that I've gotten, and again, throw out the number 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I got an email from Gordon in Smiths Creek, Michigan, and Gordon asks, what defense do we have against Al-Qaeda cyber attack with zombie computers against computer-dependent power grids, which could perhaps cut off electrical power for as long as 6 months at a time? Is the FBI aware of this threat, and how integrated is this Homeland Security Department to deal with this possible threat? It's a very specific question. I don't know if you have an answer.
Yes, and I certainly probably am not in a position to give you a specific answer, but let me tell you this from the briefings I've had. We do have a very sophisticated effort within the intelligence community, within the CIA and other agencies, of trying to deal with the threat of cyber terrorism. Now, we must say that there is a lot more that we've got to do to make this country safe from a cyber attack, and much of that has to do with what we're doing in the private sector to protect our own computer systems. That's where the real vulnerabilities are. And my assessment of the threat of cyber terrorism is that it's one of those threats that we've got to prepare for. I don't get the sense that Al-Qaeda has developed the capacity to do us great harm in the sense that any greater, at least, than some of the high school and college students who occasionally release a worm on the net that causes great harm. So I mean, I think if we continue along the path that we are within the government, we're developing capabilities, counter cyber terrorist capabilities, but the greater challenge I think for us is to individually and our business community to continue to make our own computer systems safe, develop the kind of security that we must have to protect from any kind of intrusion, terrorist or otherwise.
Congressman Turner, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about John Ashcroft's recent statement, which I'm not even sure whether it was coordinated with Tom Ridge or not, about an impending terrorist attack and whether you think that John Ashcroft should be giving those kinds of statements out. The number here is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Congressman Turner is only going to be around another 10, 15 minutes or so, so if you want to call and ask him a question, here's your chance. 877-577-2667. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back. It's time for another edition of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. The Richie Rich said is facing a terrible dilemma. The Summer Olympics are being held in Greece this year, and naturally, corporate CEOs want to be there and be part of the globe-hopping celebrity scene that swirls around such sporting galas. But gosh darn it, officials are warning that terrorists might make the Olympics a target. Of course, the government is providing a massive security force, including 40,000 police, 7,000 military troops, NATO jets, spy planes, and submarines. But the super wealthy swells of corporatedom are not about to accept the same security level that commoners get. So how can they feel extra special safe? Where there's money, there's always a way. And corporations are resolving their CEOs' Olympic security dilemma by buying luxurious protection packages for them. Top honchos of such outfits as American Express, Citigroup, and McDonald's will stay not in swank hotels, but in specially outfitted yachts to be anchored in the harbor near Athens. Thus, if there's a terrorist attack on the Olympic site, the yachts can flee with their elite passengers. Citigroup, for example, has leased a luxury ship that includes everything from armed guards to a yoga studio for its Olympic-bound executives. At $150,000, it's a pricey deal. That's $150,000 a day, and that doesn't even include fuel for the yacht or food and drink. Another corporate package provides a yacht and onboard security, plus helicopters, bodyguards, armor-plated limousines, and a motorcycle escort to get the special ones to and from the Olympic contests. Guess who gets to subsidize this high-life security cocoon for CEOs? You and me. The corporations will deduct the yacht packages from their income taxes, claiming them to be a necessary cost of doing business. This is Jim Hightower saying, these guys get the gold medal for Olympic-level excess.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. My guest is Congressman Jim Turner. He's the ranking Democrat on the House Select Committee on Homeland Intelligence and, on Homeland Security. And his job is to oversee the Department of Homeland Security, which has gotten a lot of criticism lately. It's being undermanned, underfunded, disorganized, morale being low. But Congressman Turner is, you have a bill, don't you, to help with the Department of Homeland Security?
We have several bills.
Okay.
In fact,
tell us about some of them.
Democrats on the Homeland Security Committee have introduced a series of six different bills trying to strengthen our Homeland Security in some critical areas that we believe still have some serious security gaps, areas like rail and transportation security, nuclear plant security. We have a bill to try to be sure that we protect the privacy rights of the American people. These are all issues that we think are still lacking in attention, primarily, I think, because of a failure of the administration to really treat Homeland Security like we've always treated in a bipartisan way national security. You know, and after 9/11, I think we all recognized, I hope we did, that we no longer were fighting traditional battles like we did during the Cold War and conflicts heretofore. We were fighting an enemy that had the capability to strike us here at home, that could infiltrate our way of life in a way where we may not detect them and could do us great harm. And so, in my judgment, we should have accepted the proposition that Homeland Security is national security, and we should have made the commitments after 9/11 that we needed to make this country safe.
Congressman Turner, I remember right after when the Department of Homeland Security, one of the first things we did on the Homeland Security Committee when it was first set up is the Democrats had an idea to help protect chemical plants, to help protect nuclear plants. I know Congressman Markey was very, very scared about the cargo that goes underneath airplanes. I don't think most people realize that while they take off your shoes when you go on an airplane, they don't check a lot of mail packages that go underneath planes. There was a comprehensive Democratic bill that would have dealt with all of these problems, and my recollection was that Bush threatened to veto it. Is he really opposing these efforts, and if so, why?
Well, I think what has happened to us, and certainly true with the bills that we've introduced over the last several weeks to deal with these issues, one of them is the one you mentioned about aviation security, because we still do not check the air freight that travels on passenger planes with us every day. We don't check them for explosives, and we ought to be doing it. I mean, why would we check our bags that we carry on and our passenger luggage that loaded on the plane but not carry, you know, an air freight package? Doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
But all of these issues require a financial commitment. And as you'll remember, back when the president finally agreed to go along with this idea of the new Department of Homeland Security, the administration made it very clear that they thought merging 22 agencies would create such great efficiencies that they wouldn't have to spend any more money.
Yeah.
Now, that was just, in terms of the threats we face, that is an untenable position to take. It'd be like saying the president can decide to go into Iraq, but it's not going to cost you any more money.
Well, he kind of said that too, Congressman, but that's another issue.
Well, that's another issue. But the bottom line is that we still have some serious security gaps in this country that haven't been closed. You know, the Department of Homeland Security expenditures and the other Homeland Security expenditures run to somewhere between $30 and $40 billion every year. You know, we've spent more than that, many times more than that, in the engagement in Iraq. I think we've probably spent close
five times,
$150-$200 billion.
Yep.
Now, I would think that trying to keep America safe would be a priority, and that all Americans would choose safety over these big tax cuts, if that's what it took. They would choose safety, you know, just as we try to choose protecting the troops and being sure they're well equipped when they go into battle. These issues to me are fundamental issues that I would think every American would agree upon. The problem is, I don't think most Americans are aware that this nation has yet to make a full-fledged commitment to protect the security of the American people here at home.
And that's exactly why I have you on the show, and I'm very grateful of your coming. I want to make sure that the audience understands, though, because we've got mostly a progressive audience, but I know I got some conservative callers and certainly a number of independent listeners as well. I just want to make sure your position is clear here. You're saying that the Democrats want to fund all of this Homeland Security protection, chemical plants, nuclear plants, aviation security, and the president is saying no because $40 billion is just too expensive? Is that his argument?
I don't know. You know, I don't know that I can tell you what the president said. All I know is when you look at his budget submission,
okay,
it does not contain the kind of funding requests that we need to make this country secure. You know, we spend about, I said 34, it's probably closer to about $36 billion on Homeland Security every year in this country.
Okay.
Now, we've had $3 trillion worth of tax cuts over 10 years.
Yeah. So that's 100 times that.
If you can talk about tax cuts that would average $300 billion a year,
yeah,
but you can only spend $36 billion, and that's total. That's not new money.
Okay.
I'm talking about, you know, you merge all these 22 agencies, and they were already spending a lot of money just doing what they were doing before 9/11.
Okay.
And here we are with a $36 billion budget to protect the homeland. That's why you today could still ship a nuclear device or a bomb into this country in a cargo container on one of these big ships, and it could come into one of our ports without going through a radiation detector, because those detectors aren't there at all of our seaports.
And what we don't want is some horrific event to happen, and then they'll say, oh, well, we should have thought of that. People like you, Congressman, are thinking about it now, And that's why I'm really glad that you came on the air. You spent time on my program. I just want to ask you one more question, then I know you've got to go. John Ashcroft just recently suggested that we need to fear an imminent terrorist attack. I think maybe every day we need to fear an imminent terrorist attack. But he mentioned it at a time when the president's poll numbers were going down. We later found out that the information he mentioned was 6 weeks old, and that Tom Ridge at least didn't feel it was serious enough to raise the threat level. I just want to know if you have a comment on that.
Well, you know, this is one of those issues that cuts a couple of ways. I would never want to be critical of any administration official who would share threat information with the American people. Frankly, the government is too closed now about this kind of information, and I hear these complaints all the time from local and state officials. In fact, many of them were complaining because they weren't given any advance notice on the press conference that Ashcroft had the other day, and they learned it just like the rest of us right there on TV. You're right. Most of that information had been around a long time. It's not anything you hadn't read if you thoroughly read the papers. We all know that threat information is that Al-Qaeda may be trying to strike America sometimes over the next few months. We know the information about these folks that we saw the pictures of. There wasn't much new there. But I think it's hard to be critical of them taking that action of having press conference when it is true that we've had an accumulating amount of information, intelligence information, that have warned us that Al-Qaeda intends to strike this country over the next few months. So I don't want to be critical. I like to see the American people get the information. Now, it was disappointing that Secretary Ridge wasn't brought in the loop. After all, it's his department that has the...
You'd think he'd be the first person to know, not the last.
And Secretary Ridge should have been right there side by side with Attorney General Ashcroft holding that press conference. But again, I mean, you can obviously try to ascribe various political motives to getting up there and giving this warning to the American people. But the bottom line is I don't want to be one to be critical of the sharing of intelligence information when I frankly have been one that's been very critical for some time now about the lack of information sharing on intelligence. We're still operating in a Cold War mode. We think that only a handful of people need to know certain things, and the truth is, in protecting the homeland, it's the local law enforcement officers out there on the street, it's the security officers at these major chemical plants, it's those people that need to know when there's some new information out there to put them on higher status of alert.
Fair enough. Congressman Turner, thank you for spending the time that you did with us. I really appreciate that. I know my listeners did. And thank you very much for coming on the Inside Scoop and for doing all the work that you're doing to help protect us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. I enjoyed being with you.
Thanks. Take care. We're going to take a commercial break, and then you want to call in and to comment on what Congressman Turner said. I've got my own comments to make about really the problems that we have with Homeland Security. I got to tell you, there's nothing more important. There's nothing more important than our security here at home. Whatever you think about the war in Iraq, isn't it more important that Cincinnati is safe, St. Louis, Louisville, I don't care where you are, Michigan, New York, Washington? We've got to look out for ourselves first. And you heard it right here. You heard Congressman Turner say, oh, no, he's going to spend five times more in Iraq. He's going to spend 10 times more on tax cuts. But he's not going to take the simple steps we need to check airlines. They're going to check our shoes and our bags, but not the mail that goes underneath. I think this is ridiculous. I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be back right after this.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. According to a firm that specializes in outplacement, Challenger Gray and Christmas, planned layoffs increased in May for the second month in a row. 73,368 jobs were cut last month compared to 72,184 in April. The firm reported that job cuts in the last 4 months averaged at 100,000 per month, well above the average of 51,000 jobs lost per month before the recession.
Republicans in the House of Representatives may introduce legislation to reprivatize airport security and screening services. The Transportation Security Administration, created after the 2001 terrorist attacks on New York and Washington, hired 65,000 people and spent more than $10 billion in the last 2.5 years. Now, House Republicans think the old system of private companies providing airport security would be more efficient and less stressful on the flying public. Some 100 airports around the country plan to invoke a clause in the TSA legislation which would allow them to opt out and reprivatize screening staff later this year, and the TSA itself has already cut loose a quarter of its personnel.
When oilfield services giant Halliburton received a controversial multi-billion-dollar no-bid contract to rebuild Iraq, suspicion arose that former Halliburton chief executive and now vice president Dick Cheney tipped the Pentagon in Halliburton's favor. Though Cheney publicly denies any hand in arranging the deal, Time magazine reports there's clear evidence that Cheney did indeed coordinate the contract. Time says a leaked email tipped them off. Vermont Democrat Senator Patrick Leahy is planning congressional hearings on the matter.
Facing a funding crunch of some $70 million next year, the city of Pittsburgh is developing a controversial plan to slash city services, and emergency responders may take the brunt of the cuts. A recently unveiled financial recovery plan would require the closure of 20% of the city's fire stations and would force all remaining firefighters to take a 17% cut in their base pay next year. Police officers would also be hit hard. The city plan calls for the elimination of seniority-based job selection and would force cops to work without pay when called to testify in court.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. A report by the Department of Veterans Affairs shows U.S. veterans face an increased risk of becoming homeless. Women who served in the military are 3.6 times more likely to end up living on the street, and men face a 1.4% increased risk. Veterans compose 9% of the U.S. population, but make up a remarkable 33% of the male homeless population. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We've just heard from Congressman Jim Turner. He's the ranking Democrat on the Homeland Security Committee. It is his job to oversee the Department of Homeland Security. And Jim Turner, Congressman Turner, had some pretty grim things to say, at least as I see it. Our chemical plants are not being protected. Our nuclear plants are not being protected. Our cargo, it goes into ships and ports, not being protected. Aviation security. Right? I mean, that's the planes that you go on. They take your shoes off. They make you take your belt off. But they don't check mail that goes underneath the same plane. Now, look, a terrorist, there are some we know from Al-Qaeda that will commit suicide and kill themselves. But isn't it easier for a terrorist just to mail a bomb? What are we thinking here? The president says that Iraq is more important. I mean, okay, Jim Turner says, Congressman Turner says, the president hasn't actually said Iraq is more important because none of this press asks him that question. But the message is clear when you have a budget that spends five times on Iraq, $200 billion, and he doesn't want to spend $36 billion on Homeland Security. He wants to spend $300 billion a year on tax cuts, $3 trillion. He doesn't want to spend $30 billion on Homeland Security. Isn't it more important to protect the home, to protect the United States, to protect us where we live? Isn't that the most important thing the president has to do? Sure, he wants to promote democracy in the Middle East. Sure, he wants to get rid of Saddam Hussein. Sure, he wants to make nirvana everywhere. I mean, shouldn't he at least protect us at home? Shouldn't New York, Washington, Los Angeles, St. Louis, wherever you live, shouldn't your hometown be protected before the president starts going everywhere else? Are we safer now or are we not? 877-57-SCOOP. Are we safer now? Zoe Lofgren, senior Democrat on the Homeland Security Committee, says, quote, "We are arguably in worse shape than we were before the creation of the department. If the American people knew how little has been done, they would be outraged." Lines are open. 877-57-SCOOP. You can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. You know, the problems with the Homeland Security Department are legion. I mean, they're little stuff. They're unanswered phones. You can call and call and no one answers. There's also, we seem to have taken the worst of all these different things. You have the INS, the Immigration Naturalization Service, which no longer exists. It handled immigration, and they had a notoriously awful system. They couldn't track immigrants coming in. They couldn't track them leaving. Their computer system was horrible. Customs, as it happens, was working pretty well. The customs agencies, they oversee when you come in and if you bring in things that you can't bring in, the plants and so forth, if you have to pay duties. They were working pretty well. They had a good computer system. So now customs has to use the old INS computer system. They had to take something that worked and throw it away to do something that doesn't work in the new Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency called ICE, I-C-E. So we're actually going downhill here. And what's interesting is that when Paul Redman, the guy I talked about, when he resigned for health reasons, after telling members of Congress that, hey, the Bush administration wasn't funding the department like it should, that there's only one guy or a couple guys in charge of bioterrorism, when Paul Redman was gone, who replaced him? Who replaced him? I'll tell you. It was a guy by the name of, Frank Labuti, L-I-B-U-T-T-I. He's a former Marine Corps general. And they had a meeting of state Homeland Security directors at a Virginia Marriott. And Labuti took the stage as the theme from Rocky came through a loudspeaker. And there was a laser light show. And he amazed everyone by doing one-arm push-ups. One-arm push-ups. Laser light show. Rocky. Terrific! But is he doing anything about Homeland Security? No evidence of it. It's all sound and light. As Faulkner said, the sound and the fury signifying nothing. All light and sound. George Bush constantly praising Tom Ridge. But are they doing anything? Do you feel safer now? Are you more concerned about St. Louis or Cincinnati? Are you more concerned about Iraq? Do you really think that it's more important for us to go to Iraq than to be concerned about the home? What are we going to do about it? 877-57-SCOOP. I appreciate your calls. I also appreciate your emails, and I want to read some of them to you. I got an email here from Angel, and she writes, I heard that they want to privatize airline checking points again. I also heard that originally the private security companies charged $40 an hour when they only made fast food money. Is this true? Well, okay, let's deal with that step by step. First of all, you're absolutely right about privatization. Prior to the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, Angel, that was developed right after September 11th and is now those people you see with those TSA badges when you're in airports, prior to that time, there was mostly private companies that were in charge of Homeland Security, in charge of airlines. They were the people that were sitting there watching for weapons and so forth, and doing such a lousy job and letting, in fact, when they did tests, letting a lot of the weapons go through. These are private agencies, and they were paying so little that, people were making more at the fast food counters, more at the fast food counters than they were looking for guns and weapons. So think about it. You're looking for guns and weapons, things that can save hundreds of lives on an airplane, things that could save thousands of lives if you have another plane hit a building, and one day you might get a promotion to be a burger chef at McDonald's because you get more money. Well, that's what the private agencies did, and they had no labor rights and no worker protections, no whistleblower protections. If you found out that your employer was saying, let a couple of guns go through, you couldn't tell anyone or you'd be fired. Well, the Democrats insisted that this be a government agency, that it be run by the government to ensure quality. And, in fact, the TSA was formed, and it's not without problems. It's not without funding. But we do know that people do have these labor protections. If they see something going wrong, they can say something about it. And I feel safer, frankly, now the TSA is there. But you're absolutely right, Angel. They are trying to privatize it again, and I think it's something we have to be concerned about. Ben writes that my guest was saying, meaning my guest, Congressman Jim Turner, that police should be able to notify the FBI, CIA in real time about a potential terrorist. Ben writes, I think this sounds like a great idea, but could this have a negative effect on the effectiveness of the CIA or the FBI's ability to deal with other threats? Because law enforcement officials might enter large numbers of individuals, causing the FBI and CIA to research each individual. Ben, to me, the answer is this. fund it enough so that it can happen. I trust enough that police won't be just entering every other person. If they do, then okay, then that's a problem. But we should have the funding to check it out. You know, police run searches all the time. They go and they're following you in your car, and they check license plates. They see if a car has been stolen. They do that all the time. That's their job. And we should have enough officials at the Homeland Security Department to run down a check. You know, I think back to the sniper in Washington, D.C. He was stopped for a traffic ticket. He was stopped for a traffic ticket, and if, you know, people had done enough research, maybe we could have caught this guy. Clearly, with terrorists, we need to be able to check these people. And I say it's worth spending the funding. It's worth it to spend the funding to check down these sources, even if it costs more funding. Again, we're spending $200 billion in Iraq. We can't spend $40 billion on Homeland Security. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but when the firefighters in New York City went up in the First Trade Center, and of course it came down and they all died, there were firefighters in the Second Trade Center, and they were still trying to save Americans' lives. And of course, all of us knew, every American knew, you don't have to be an expert in building, you know, in engineering to know, as I knew, as everyone knew, when the First Trade Center fell, we were concerned the second one might fall. But all those firefighters in the Second Trade Center, they didn't know their building was about to fall. Believe it or not, they didn't have the communications equipment they needed to tell those firefighters in the second building, get out, save your lives. We know you're trying to save other people's lives, but you can't save the people that are on the high floors on top of the danger, on top of the attack on the World Trade Center. You can't save them. Get out while you can. Get out while you can. And we couldn't tell those firefighters anything because we didn't have decent communication equipment, and people were using cell phones and so forth, and you couldn't get through. So hundreds of firefighters died because of failure to have good communication equipment. One of the first things the Democrats proposed was communication equipment for these first responders to allow them, in the case of an emergency, to protect themselves, and yet Bush says it's too much money. Is it too much money to save firefighters? Is it too much money? Do you feel safer? 877-57-SCOOP, let me know. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
I'm Ed from New York.
Hey, Ed from New York. Do you feel any safer?
No, as a matter of fact, I feel a whole lot less safer. Let me explain. I just read the other day in one of our local papers that New York is receiving proportionally less per capita than Nebraska and Idaho and
Wyoming.
Kansas and Wyoming.
That's true, because the little states all want to get their little state funding on it, and so Wyoming gets about 20 times more per capita than New York gets. And somehow, I just think Al-Qaeda is more likely to attack New York City than Cheyenne. You're absolutely right about that.
Well, what really bothers me is here we have a problem of we are a prime target.
Yep.
And a small town in Nebraska, and I'm not picking on people in Nebraska or Montana, but a small town in those cities, in those states, is less likely to be attacked.
Yep.
And here we need the money, and it's being tossed away in pork barrel politics.
You're absolutely right.
And I also think that the Republicans are doing this in order to save money on the tax cuts, and I think that in terms of my health and welfare and the welfare of my family, I think it's disgusting.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you more. Thanks very much for your call, Ed. I appreciate that. Ed's got it right. I mean, they are saying the tax cuts are more important. Now, note that Bush isn't actually saying tax cuts are more important. I mean, I asked Congressman Turner that. He said, well, he hasn't said it. He doesn't need to say it. He's got a budget. And his budget has made it clear. He rejects the Democrats' attempts to spend more on Homeland Security. And because the Republicans control Congress, the Democrats can't even force a vote on the issue. They can't even bring the bill to the floor because the Republicans have said, nope, we're not even going to let this bill go to the floor. We're not even going to let people vote on it. But it's clear. The president's priorities are clear. The tax cut, a priority. Iraq, a priority. Corporate welfare for energy companies and Halliburton, a priority. Protecting your hometown, not a priority. Protecting New York City, Washington, and not just that, but Michigan and Atlanta and Austin, wherever you are, not a priority. Maybe it's a priority to go after Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Nebraska because they have more pork barrel politics. It's a real mess. It's a real mess. And with all the infighting of the government and people like George Tenet not wanting to give the intelligence they need, you know, it's – George Tenet's got to go. I mean, I said it before. He's got to go because he got wrong the weapons of mass destruction. He's got to go because he got wrong 9/11. You know, George Tenet said that in the book, in Woodward's book, he said that he knew all about Zacharias Moussaoui, the 20th hijacker. He knew all about flying planes into buildings. And, either he shared it with the president or he didn't. My view is he did share it, and that's why he's not being fired. But either way, this guy's got to go. This guy's got to be fired. And now we find out he's not cooperating with the Homeland Security Department. Not cooperating at all. So I really felt this was an important show to get out the information that you need to know on really what your government's not doing. And I hope that you listeners will call your local congressman and you tell them that Homeland Security is more important than Iraq. That Homeland Security is more important than the tax cut. That protecting – there's nothing more important. There should never be anything more important than protecting American citizens. I mean, instead of September 11th being used as an excuse to get more oil fields in Iraq, shouldn't it at least be a wake-up call that we have to protect our planes, we have to protect our chemical plants, our nuclear plants? You know, to me, it doesn't take a genius to think that you can take a Timothy McVeigh-like bomb and blow up a chemical plant, blow up a nuclear plant. You know, maybe it took a genius to realize they could fly planes into buildings before. I don't think so. Maybe it did. But now we know how they do it. How do they try to kill us? Not, they don't bring in chemical weapons. They don't bring in nuclear weapons from Iraq. No. It's much easier. We have them here in America. They don't need to go and bring them from their home country. We've got them right here. And all they got to do is run a truck bomb, Timothy McVeigh style, into an undefended chemical plant, nuclear plant, and boom. Plume of smoke, plume of radioactivity goes in the air. Hundreds die, thousands die. I've had people tell me, Mark, don't say this on the air. You might give them ideas. And I say, you know what? They're smart enough. They have these ideas. They've been looking at our chemical and nuclear plants. We know that. They know. The only people who don't know are the American people. And that's why I think people need to get out, call the member of Congress, and you tell them American security is first and foremost the most important. There's nothing more important. They use our strength against us, and we've got to protect our chemical and nuclear plants. And I don't care that the chemical nuclear plants don't want to do it. I don't care that they say it's too much government regulation. That's what governments do. That's the whole purpose of government, to protect American citizens. And I don't care that George Bush has corporate buddies that run chemical plants. Tough. Tough. Make them protect themselves. Harden the targets. There's nothing more important. Listen, I did promise, and I didn't do it yesterday, I promised I would explain the origin of the word gerrymander. One of my listeners, who's from Switzerland, had never heard the word before, wanted to know where it came from. A gerrymander, as you know, is the drawing of congressional districts in a way that basically keeps one party and one advantage over another. The origin dates back to the 1830s. Governor Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts designed his districts in such a crazy way to help his party that they looked like a salamander, at least one of the districts, and one political cartoonist actually drew one of the districts in Massachusetts and gave it horns and a beak and said, "This is a gerrymander." In other words, it's a salamander done by Governor Elbridge Gerry. And that word, gerrymander, entered our political lexicon. It is now a word that everyone in politics knows. That is the origin of the word gerrymander. And, of course, the Republicans have used the gerrymander extremely effectively in recent years to really deny democracy, particularly in states like Florida, Texas, Colorado. That's it for the Inside Scoop today. I want you to tune in tomorrow, though. We've got an important show. Bill Cosby said some pretty extreme things. Well, maybe they weren't extreme at all. Let's just say strong things, strong language, regarding poor African Americans in America. Some very critical things. You probably heard about them. And I want to have a full discussion on race, on poverty, on perceptions of people in the ghetto, and what people in the ghetto actually do. The heart of the question is, was Bill Cosby right? Was he right, what he had to say? It'll be a very interesting show, and I really need your input tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 Central, 1 Mountain and Noon Pacific. And hey, if you like the Inside Scoop, tell your friends. Send an email out to everyone you know. Encourage them to listen. Please don't keep it a secret. All right? This is Mark Levine signing off.